All around me are familiar faces, worn out places, worn out faces.
Welcome everyone to a very timely special episode of the Here's Johnny podcast. I am your host, Larry.
I am your other host, Justin. I just kind of want to get ahead and say this. If you're feeling stressed out about everything that's going on, maybe skip this one.
Ah, no, dive in, man. This is the movie that led me the next day to consider picking up an assault rifle. Luckily, my fiance and my better wits came to me, and I left that place as fast as I could. But yeah, we're going to dive into this one. This is the first time on the podcast we are going to be reviewing a film that is a remake without doing the original.
Yeah. Have you seen the original? I never asked that.
I have. And just to get this out of the way, the original was a 1973 film of the same name, which was written and directed by George Romero.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember much of the original. The only thing I really remember is that it was weird.
It's a lot more political / military industrial complex kind of issue.
Yeah. And I know it's a lot more of a slow burn.
Yes, it absolutely was. So we're not going to comment on that one at all. We're kind of just going to take this one as it is, and we will get back to the Romero one. It's just Justin and I have a connection to this movie. We've seen it kind of in our formative years. I saw it when I was 18. Justin probably saw it at 21, 20, something like that.
Yeah.
And guys, if you're keeping an eye out outside, you probably know why we picked this.
Yes, it is this.
So let's dive into the film background. Okay. It's a 2010 American sci-fi horror film directed by Breck Eisner. And like I already mentioned, it's the reimagining of the 73 film with the same name that was written and directed by Romero. Eisner got his big break directing with the film Sahara in 2005, which led him to helming this movie. And the last film he directed was The Last Witch Hunter in 2015. And we all know who Mr. Romero is.
Yeah, I don't think he needs any explanation.
Okay. The film stars Timothy Oliphant and Radha Mitchell.
Yeah, the All-American Jedi, right?
Huh?
Timothy Oliphant, the All-American Jedi?
I've never heard that before.
Oh, it's like, I think it's the movie's called like Lost Paradise or like The Perfect Getaway.
Oh, maybe. I don't know, but okay. I do love him. I love him. I know him better from shows like Deadwood, Santa Clarita Diet, and Justified. That's probably my favorite. And he's been in films such as Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and Hitman. I love Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he's awesome.
Radha Mitchell is very well known in horror circles because she starred in films such as Pitch Black and Silent Hill.
Yeah, we still got to watch one of those, huh?
We got to go in order of release of the entry into Silent Hill.
Okay. Oh, boy. Okay.
The film was scored by Mark Ishman, who has done composing work for movies like Blade, Crash, and Warrior, and he did some work for the TV show Once Upon a Time, the fairy tale Disney show on ABC.
I'm at a loss.
It's what it is. It's what it is. I've watched it. We'll leave it there. There was a bunch of viral marketing with this film, and I actually remembered a lot. There was an iPhone app called Beware the Infected, a graphic novel adaptation, and the thing I remember the most was a fake website called SaveOgdenMarsh.com, which I tried to find, but it doesn't exist anymore. But basically, like, it was like the sheriff's webpage, and you could like dig around, and like eventually the government like hacked you, and it popped the trailer for the movie.
Oh, weird. See, it's weird because like, the only thing I remember about this, like the marketing at all, is like I watched the original Crazies, and then literally like 2 days later, the trailer came out for this movie. So I was like,
"Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah."
Shot on a budget of $20 million, the film would gross $55 million at the global box office.
Yeah, I mean,
again, for these shorter episodes, we don't do plot summaries, the 60-second plot summaries, but I will briefly give a synopsis. And again, like Justin mentioned, like, if you are having a hard time with what's going around the world and you don't trust your government and you don't trust what the news is saying, maybe the wrong episode to listen to right now. but we thought it was fitting, and he and I have both been stressed, and we thought then why not just amp that stress up to 11.
Yeah, amp it up. Yeah, right?
So this is your first, last, and only trigger warning. I think that's good, right, Jay? Can I hop on in?
Yeah, go for it.
The Crazies is about a small town in Iowa where a plane crashes in the watering hole, I guess, for lack of a better word, and the townspeople start getting sick. It's not a zombie virus, so it's not like Resident Evil. It's more that they start to lose their mental functioning and start getting really angry.
Yeah.
The film centers around a sheriff, his deputy, and the sheriff's wife. As they try to escape the town, and they realize that the government, who appeared to be there to help them, is not there to help them. That's pretty much it, right?
Yeah.
So before we get into the today stuff, I do want to mention, when I saw this in theaters, I loved it. Like, I remember watching the movie and just being like, this is amazing.
I remember watching it and loving it, and I remember like waiting for the day it came out on DVD.
Me too.
And like, yeah, buying,
I
mean, me too,
buying it.
It.
Yeah. I still have my DVD copy from when it came out. I remember us being blown away, and like, I need to have this. It's one of the only movies I remember. That one and Rob Zombie's Halloween are like two that like really, really stick out to me.
Yeah. No. I mean, I actually, weirdly enough, the same here with Rob Zombie's as well. Yeah.
So, guys, not to beat around the bush, COVID-19 has changed the world around us in such a way that I don't think anybody alive has seen what's happening right now in the real world. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. I think this is kind of the first time anybody's having to deal with, I mean, this, right? Like
quarantines, lockdowns. I mean, thank God, nowhere where I'm at are there like armed people in the streets from the government. But I was texting Rachel earlier this week, and she was telling me that the guy for her weed dispensary came to drop off her order in a full hazmat suit.
Which is insane.
And the bars aren't open. Movie theaters aren't open. Movies are getting pushed back. Like, Jigsaw's new movie is being pushed back. Quiet Place 2 is being pushed back. You can't even go see a movie if you wanted to because the theaters are all closed.
I will say one thing that I do enjoy that some of the production companies are doing is they're releasing them. I mean, VOD.
On VOD. And yeah. I am curious to see how that works, because $20 is a stiff price. But I think that it's not for me. For me to go to a theater, I'm a member, but even if it was just me paying for a ticket, because Devin doesn't like going and see the weird shit I have to go see. It's $7 for a ticket, $5 for a popcorn, $5 for a water, right? I'm in and out for like $17. If you're a mom taking in kids and buying them all their individual popcorn, that's like $120, $150.
So I will come out here and say this right now. You will see me watching Trolls 2.
That's what I was saying. The day comes. I think Trolls will be the one that will really prove how effective this is.
Yeah.
And I think the worst part about it will be we'll see less money poured into kids' movies because they can pump them out so much faster. I really think that.
No, it is very unfortunate, like, that side of things. But, I mean, it sucks because, like, I really hope that like theaters can come back from this.
Like I said, I'm a member of the Art House Theater here. They offered us to cancel our memberships while the theater is shut down. But I actually went and bought a gift card online. Like, now I'm like, continue my membership. I bought a gift card for like drinks and stuff because it's important to me. Like, I've talked about it before, maybe it's crazy, but I really treat the theater like a church. Like, I really feel like it's a special moment whenever I go see a movie. And that's just another part of life that this is affecting. And there's people out there without work, and there's bills coming up. And that's why, even though this is heavy, and this is scary, and we see the darker parts of humanity, at least so far with this global pandemic, we haven't seen that. And if anything, we've seen people, like in our communities, do a better job. Like, for example, Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively gave $1 million to food banks.
And that like things like that are amazing. Like I will say I'm seeing like, yeah, you had like all the crazy people going out and like panic buying a bunch of stuff.
Buying guns, buying bread, buying toilet paper. The essentials. Yeah, what you need for the apocalypse.
Yeah. And like I don't know. It's nice to see now that everything's, I mean, obviously things are still terrifying and they're, I mean, you know, things are getting worse and getting better in other ways.
Yeah, and I will tell you from like I do science, right? I do research into cancer. But my lab is mobilizing to start doing research into trying to not tackling COVID-19 straight on because that's not our wheelhouse, but we do know it affects some things downstream. And so we're trying to help build immunity inside the body. For like if you do get sick and you don't get a vaccine, what can we do to help you if you're sick?
Yeah, yeah.
And well, so that's good. It's not like what's happening in the crazies.
No.
In the crazies, he's at a ball game one day, one guy's sick, and then it seems like it goes from 0 to 100 so fast. And that is what is so brilliant about this movie, because we get lost in time and it takes us a while to realize that this all takes place in 48 hours.
Yeah, I mean, like, literally, without counting the shot, the first shot in the movie, which is like the town completely decimated, like, it's the baseball game, and then within 2 minutes, if that, things are already starting to go down.
And it's sad, too. Like, there's a lot of scenes, and that's one of the things I like about this movie. I'll get into the cinematography, but, like, they have gore, but they don't focus on it, and I'll save that for then. But there's a lot of heavy stuff, like a dad locking his family in a house and burning it down.
Oh, yeah.
Was it the pastor or the principal or somebody going through and stabbing bodies with pitchforks? And one person was sick and was sitting there laughing while he was doing it.
Yeah.
And it's scary. And then you take that and then you add the government coming through, shooting people, lighting them on fire, even if they're not sick. And like when they take all the people in the town and say, we're going to save you, and they hurdle, they literally herd them into cattle carts and light them on fire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, it's dark to like the nth degree. Like it's very heavy. That's all.
And one of the hardest things for me is watching the deputy realizing he's getting sick and like being helpless to it, because he still like gets mean with Oliphant and Mitchell, but like he does realize what he's doing and he's like, listen, I'm dying, I'm going to be sick, let me save you.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he had there was a lot of like mini arcs almost written into this, and I think they all play off, they all play out really well.
It's the reason why I like this one more than Romero's, and again, don't kill me, Romero fanboys, but this one's much more about people than it is about like the bigger picture. This is about individuals, and they nail it.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I'm trying to think, and like literally every main character, even like down to Becca, like they all have an arc. Some of them come to an abrupt conclusion.
With that, let's get into cons. I hate Mitchell's character. I hate everything about her. For an educated person, a doctor, she makes so many stupid mistakes. She gets herself in stupid situations. She doesn't pay attention to her surroundings, even though she knows she should. She gets people killed. I cannot stand her. And by the end, I wish she had died. I'm not going to lie. I wish she was dead by the end.
Ooh, yikes. Okay.
Well, she's in particular when they're at the gas station at the very, very end. She's so dope. She's not paying attention to her surroundings. She doesn't listen to him and goes inside. She's an idiot.
Oh, yeah. No. Like, I agree. I mean, she's also the one. Well, see, I don't know if she saved Becca or made it worse, because she is the one who told Becca to stay and work, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
It's insane.
Yeah.
And then the other con I have, and it bothered me then, and it bothered me watching it again. I think Becca's death is hard to watch. Like, it comes out of nowhere. They hang her, and she's just hanging. It's just so sad. And she's a 17-year-old pregnant girl.
Yeah, I mean, I won't lie. I don't have that in here as a con, but it was, like, definitely the most, like, woof, like, right in your face, like...
Heavy. Like, super, super heavy.
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, it's very heavy. That's a good way to put it, yeah.
All right, so with that, I gave plot 7.5.
I gave it an 8.
The film, again, it starts off with a town on fire, but it really transitions really well from the calm daily life of Ogden Marsh, like the baseball game, to the chaotic hellscape with like townspeople shooting everybody and getting sick and like bodies in the back of trucks.
Yeah, I mean, and it's really interesting because it's almost like they blend it really well. I mean, obviously you can tell like, okay, that is when shit happened, but like they do it in a way that it doesn't, like, it doesn't start at 100. Like you said, it ramps up very, very quickly to 100. And
but it feels real.
Yeah, and you like quickly.
And I think the color palette had to do with it too. I really do.
No, I would agree. And like you can follow it. It is very quick. And sometimes that can be done horribly.
Yeah.
But I think that it's like concise enough that it gets the point across while ramping up. I mean, like, even shots like before stuff went down, like when Timothy Olyphant sees like the FBI, not the FBI truck, but like the government like black truck taking pictures of the town. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. And the other thing is there's a lot of graphic violence and gore in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
But because of the color palette and because of how they shot the scenes, the violence isn't like the later Saw films or Hostel, right? It doesn't like make you revolted. It makes you like, oh my gosh, this is awful. You know what I mean? There's like a very fine line and they ride it perfectly. For like when he gets his hand stabbed and stuff, like,
oh,
it's God, just so done so well.
And I mean, even like the bone saw to like the shoulder.
Yeah.
It's just like quick. It's there, but it's not like they don't like sit there and like zoom in and like leave you on it for a minute, right? Like,
it does enough.
yeah, exactly.
Maybe I'm wrong on this, but I really liked how the nuclear explosion looked. Especially when they're standing there staring at it.
I was trying to figure out, like, yes, obviously it was like a mushroom cloud, but I feel like if that was like a nuclear explosion, it would have been a lot bigger.
It could have been a smaller one. I have no idea.
Yeah, no, but
a baby H-bomb.
So like I don't know, a B-bomb. I don't know. I can't think of anything funny, but yeah.
And then the last thing it kind of leads into my only con is that they really did practical effects for the most part. And because of that, it looks really good. But sometimes the dead bodies, in particular, I'm thinking when they're at the gas station, when they're in the, or when they focus in on the truck, when they find that the people have been shooting like healthy townspeople, like the.
Yeah, the green bracelet thing.
They kind of look fake for a movie made in 2010, I guess.
Well, and I think it's because it's like put against other time. Like, I mean, for a lot of the movie, they do use, you know, like semi-practical effects. And like, I think when you kind of have that blend of semi-practical and CGI, sometimes it can work. But like, I agree, like the bodies looked
a little bit too fake.
Yeah, like they might have been real. I don't know. But I don't know. There's something about it that was just like off.
And yeah, so that's all I really have. I gave it an 8 for cinematography.
I gave it, where's my score? Oh, I gave it an 8.5.
Moving on to audio. The soundtrack for this film is amazing. Like, we have the Johnny Cash song to kick things off. And like I mentioned to you before we started recording in the trailer, they used Mad World by Gary Jules, which was in Donnie Darko. It was in the Gears of War trailer. I remember way back when.
Oh, I do.
It's just...
There was a point in time where Mad World was in like every trailer.
Yes. Next, Olyphant is just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a reason why he, I mean, I
he plays a sheriff real well.
Yes, he does, and I think he was like the perfect character, the perfect actor to choose for this role.
Yeah, and like his character is really needed to carry this movie, right?
Yeah. No, I agree, and like. Okay, you know what? Well, I'll save it for the next actor, but yes.
Yeah, because like it's, we follow him. He's the one who discovers stuff. He's the one who leads us through this thing. He goes through trials and tribulations. And that's one of the things I really like the most is that like he's not flawed. He's flawed, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, big time.
Like he makes mistakes. He messes up. But like he continues to grow and get better. And I just think it's awesome.
Yeah, and like he's, I think overall in the at the end of the movie, he's like really redeemable. And you just like, you can understand what he went through. I mean, obviously not understand, but like you are definitely along for the ride with him, and he makes you feel like you are with him through it all.
And then the last thing I have for audio is I like the way that the infected people go from like distant and quiet to crazy to silent to stalking in silence. Like, it's just really bone chilling. And I think we've already reviewed 28 Days Later, and that's different. It's zombies and the rage virus and stuff. But this one is just, there's just something so haunting about it.
Oh yeah, I mean, they're always like, well, not always, but like, they're in the background and the characters don't know it, and like, they would, you wouldn't know it like in real life either. And I don't know, I agree. Something else I do want to say is I actually really liked the deputy.
Me too.
I thought he was a fantastic actor. I think he played the getting sick part really well as well.
Me too.
Like,
yeah,
he was very like back and forth, and
between being himself and being lost in what was coming.
Yeah, and I mean, you could almost like see when he, well, you did see when he lost it at times, but like, he wasn't really accepting the fact that he was sick yet either. So he just like kind of tried to play it off. Yeah. And you can kind of see that like inner struggle. Anyways, yeah, no, he was fantastic.
Right. So some cons, even though I like the soundtrack, I think the score was kind of forgettable.
It was like a typical like action movie score. Yeah.
Yeah. And the last thing, like I already mentioned this in plot, but I don't know a whole lot of stuff that Rada Mitchell's in. Like, I haven't seen the Silent Hill movie for a long time. Same with Pitch Dark. I just said it earlier. What did I say it was?
I don't know.
Pitch Black, one with Vin Diesel. Yeah, I just didn't like her in this movie at all.
No, I agree. I mean, she was, I didn't think she was like bad, but she was just like okay. But put against Oliphant and the deputy, it just it makes her stand out more as not top of the line.
So I gave Audio a 7.
I gave it a 7.5. We're riding really close on this one too.
All right, how scary. Let's not beat around the bush, man. We picked this movie because, I guess I picked it and you agreed.
With some hesitance.
We wanted to tackle something that was pertinent to what was going on around us. Like, we're doing these extra episodes because we have more time, because the world around us is a scary place.
Yeah. No, like, I mean, yes.
I mean, we don't need to dive into any more. We talked about it a lot already. It's just, this movie kind of shows how bad it can get, or it could get. It plays on fears that a lot of us have. Like, a lot of us are trusting the government to do the best for us. But even though they're doing these things, there's still a lot of questions, right? It's like, how are we going to pay our bills? How are we going to get our food? Like, how long is this going to last?
Yeah.
And to see that on a global scale, like, you're in Canada, I'm in the US, but this isn't just happening with North America. This is happening all over the world. Like, thousands of people are dying from this disease all because someone in China ate a bat.
Is that how it all started? I won't lie. Yeah. I don't even know.
At a wet market in China, someone ate like an undercooked bat or a badly cooked bat at a wet market. They got it, and that's what started it.
That's crazy.
And that's why it's so hard, is because it's not like a human-based virus. It came from an animal, so it's harder to kind of combat.
Yeah.
Same with like bird flu and swine flu and stuff. And I don't know. The scares from this, I mean, even though it is scary watching the people in your town kind of go crazy and having to fight them, the scares from this definitely come from the government, and like that it was their fault. And thank God that isn't the case, hopefully, with what's going on here.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It was hard. It was hard to watch it, because I watched this as the second time I watched it in 2 weeks. Because I watched it like, I think I watched it the same week that they canceled March Madness and all the sports started being canceled and stuff, because I started getting nervous then.
Yeah, yeah.
And watching it again, it was still just as hard. And I was scared when I watched it as a kid for different reasons, right? Because, you know, the government, all that fun stuff. But watching it now, it's hard. It was a hard movie to watch. And then I think it still would score high for how scary, but I don't think I would have scored it as high as I did this time, just because it's like...
Well, it's like, it's relevant now more than ever.
And you can kind of see, even though, again, it's not what's happening around us, you can see how fast our world could turn that way, though, where we're at right now, like how close we are to that breakdown.
Yeah. And I mean, like, it's like you mentioned, it's heavy for right now. And I mean, it's very stressful. I watched this last night, I think, or the night before. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But no, I just remember like sitting there halfway through and like I had to pause it, take a minute. Like, I'm really fucking stressed out right now.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. It's, I agree with you. I don't think it would score as high on the scary. I definitely think it was like,
it's still a scary movie, but yes, because of what's going on right now, it took it up the extra points.
Oh yes, definitely.
And so with that, I gave it a 9.
I also gave it a 9. I don't know, it's just like hit a little too close to home.
And exactly, and we're not here saying that, like, we aren't, like, saying there's zombies out there or it's a government conspiracy or anything like that. It's not what we're saying. It's just you can see how close we are to the end or to this being an end.
Yeah, like, it's, I don't know, it's a weird time, and this definitely did not help.
For subgenre, I put it in Mad Scientist, since it was like a government-created thing.
That's what I had it in, and if you didn't have that, I was also going to say either that or, like, you could say Deranged Man, but, like, it's definitely a scientist. Like.
Yeah, you gotta go back to the root of the fear, and it's...
Yeah.
It's that. All right. Summarize the scores. For plot, I gave it a 7.5. Just gave it an 8. For cinematography, I gave it an 8. Just gave it 8.5. For audio, I gave it a 7. Just gave it a 7.5. And for how scary, both gave it 9s. That gives it a Here's Johnny final score of an 81% B minus. That slots it in the overall rankings right above the original Halloween and right above The Shining.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it. Justin, any last thoughts before we wrap up this review?
I mean, just, you know, stay safe out there if you can, and yeah, just keep doing you and do whatever you need to. If you need to, like, if you need somebody to talk to, I mean, we're here. You talk to us on Twitter and Discord, on the email, whatever. Just if you need to talk, someone to talk to, we're here.
And if there are other kind of outbreakish movies you'd like to see us cover in the coming weeks while this is going on, send us an email, hit us up on Twitter, let us know. But yeah, guys, with that, take care of yourselves. We are a family here. Here's Johnny. We can do what we can to help you. But most importantly, until next time, stay scary. The Here's Johnny podcast is brought to you by Larry and Justin. You can find the show on Twitter at Here's Johnny Cast, and you can find Larry at Beaver LA.
You can find Justin at Pickle Thing, and you can email the show at heresjohnnypodcast@gmail.com. You can look us up on Facebook at Here's Johnny Podcast.
As always, in the show notes, you can find links to the Discord and to the website. We are also on Instagram at heresjohnny_podcast.
Also in the show notes, we'll have a link to the Twitch and YouTube channels. And if you would like to support the show, you can head on over to patreon.com/heresjohnnypodcast. Every cent goes into the show. And yeah, we just really use it to make the show better. Again, I just want to say thank you very much to our patrons. You guys help make this possible.
But yeah, Patreon is the way we support the show. We aren't looking to get rich. And like Justin said, every dollar, every cent, it all goes back in. There's some pretty cool tiers. So head on and look at that.
But until next week, see you guys later.